Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Hello and welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams, now sponsored by the Tillamook County Smoker. Nearly got that right. I can't even get a joke right these days. That's what we're in. Bear market is one thing. Tariff war, trade war is another thing. It's been a very wearing week.
There's a trade war?
Have you not heard? I heard
it was canceled.
Just canceled. Just for a couple months.
So true story. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a journalist about the trade war, and while we were just chatting, they were like, "Oh shit, it's been called off. Trade war's over. Lol." And then they were like, "By the way, it's not really." And then I looked at like when they were like, "Oh yeah, it's over." I just didn't even look at the news, went straight to like the candles graph and saw they'd all edged up by like 1%. I was like, trade war's over, we're back, baby. And then of course, like, it's like, oh, but when we say over, we mean everybody's still getting 10% tariffs. And then it was like, oop, and then all red again. And I was like, damn, it's not over, dude. And he was like, is that just in your stupid ass crypto world? And I was like, it's just in my stupid ass crypto world.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I'm sure it's bad out there in the real economy too. I'm sure we're all losing money, but right now, line not go up, and it's bad. As an aside, what do you reckon the players? I read some like bullshit headline about how Liberty Financial were liquidating a bunch of ETH, and I was like, there has to be some kind of scam here. You know,
is that right? Who's Liberty Financial? I should know that.
It's Trump's thing.
Oh. I did see that didn't they flash sale like $50 million of that Molina bullshit token or something like that too? Drove that thing into the ground.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think probably they finally rugged it. Yeah.
They haven't already rugged it?
No, I think they're a whole, I don't know. God knows.
I ordered some server hardware 3 weeks ago from China, but it's on back order. Mm-hmm. And when the tariffs came up, I messaged him and I was like, hey, I'm going to cancel this because I don't really want to pay like double the cost for the server hardware. And they replied and they were like, let's just let it wait for a few days because Trump's an asshole and we don't know what he's going to do. I was like, okay.
So you're finally joining Null and Serp's masochism club.
Kinda, a little bit. I'm actually setting up home hardware because I don't want to commit to a data center. And it's going to be like the low priority things that it's going to go in here. And then it's basically all the networking is going to happen via the VPN in order to do like as least commitment as possible.
You're doing testnets from your house. Is that what you're saying?
Testnets are high priority. Testnets, you actually have to have good uptime because they judge you for that.
That's fucking true. Nobody gives a fuck.
So these are the main things that you don't care about anymore as a business. That's what you're saying.
It's pretty much. Dude, that is so fucking true.
I remember in this is how, you know, how ahead people that are called Frey think, right? I remember talking to Ethan Frey in 2021. I think it was Cosmoverse 2021. And even then, he was already like, yeah, for the low priority stuff, you just run it out of your garden shed, put it on an old server, happy days. I was like, and there's still
a ton of valves to do that, right? Yeah. I remember Jabby running stuff underneath his desk for a long time. I thought Demi ran his Juno validator out of his house forever. Like it was on some, he always said it was like on some machine in the closet or something.
Jabby
like that
was running it off of the home entertainment system, right, in the living room, wasn't he? And
that's right.
It crashed, and I remember him saying like, "Oh, it's crashed because it's running on the media center."
It was like,
and
I was like, Plex and osmosis.
Yeah. I was like, and he was like, "No. It's quite a powerful computer, but it is in my house." And I was like,
"I mean, I was like, shit's meant to be resilient."
Yeah. I was like, "Didn't you used to work for like AWS or some shit?" Like, he's like, "We're trying to pay for a home cinema. We're not trying to pay for expensive hardware."
That's funny.
Should have listened to that advice. Then we would be sitting pretty through this tariff chaos.
Where are you putting that stuff? You put it in the basement or something? That shit's loud, you know.
Let me like, go grab what the actual hardware real quick, you know, so you can actually see it.
Oh, is it like a? And then you is it like 140
like a mini PC that's like
big. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. So it's got like big fans on it or something like that. So it's not like it doesn't have those little 30mm screamers or that kind of server shit, right? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
yeah, that's worth it.
It's basically silent, but they're powerful as all hell, and they're cheap. Yeah. Like you can get them for dirt cheap.
Are they Epic or what are they? Or just Ryzen?
They're just Ryzen.
Yeah.
And they're laptop Ryzen. But laptop Ryzen is like basically just as good.
There's nothing wrong with running that shit out of the house. For me, it was always internet. Although, I mean, for a while I had two routes out of this house because for another reason. But
for another reason.
But that was always the issue, is like just having something that's stable enough. And especially if you have open ports and shit, that becomes a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so I've been that's why I want to deal with the VPN, right? So if I can basically peer off, you can route it off internal nodes.
Yeah.
But I am gonna get a second line dropped so that I actually have a business SLA.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to worry about it. Plus I'll have unlimited internet then. So and it's 1 gig up and down.
Yeah.
Good enough.
That's plenty.
Yeah.
Or even if you put signers at home, that's another good idea. Right. Something like that. Just keep keys local.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's fun. But you're right about the testnet thing, man. Nobody gives a shit in mainnet, I swear. Testnet, like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is true that when you have, like, various things like testnets or performance testnets, I find they are the times that I am most stressed out and most attentive to, like, specific. I mean, fucking, like, remember back in the day for like, Cosmos testnets, when we were running, sometimes we're running a fucking Sentry on AWS for some of that stuff. Okay, that was pure madness. That was look. Yeah. So sometimes now, when I look at what's in the bank and I go, mistakes have been made. Which mistakes specifically have been made? The answer is usually AWS. But yeah, there's no but. But you got to care about testnets, right? It's just the nature of the beast, especially in this day and age, right? Because
I think that's one of the things that new validators underestimate. They're like, oh, I got into a mainnet, therefore I'm doing awesome. But really, once you get into mainnet, everything kind of quiets down, right? It's just testnets where you have to kind of show your chops and say, oh, I've got this RPC for you guys. Yins are going to love it.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that... Yeah, I mean, the difficulty I found with testnets is that in Cosmos, it's like, because especially in the early days, it was like a bit of a club. If you knew people and you'd met people, especially relatively early on, like you could kind of get into most stuff. Like, people basically get the idea that you're not like a Mickey Mouse operator in terms of technical chops, and you're kind of there. Like, all you need to do is actually show up, pull your weight, help out with documentation stuff and you're good. But it's like that entire approach, obviously for obvious reasons, doesn't work in any other ecosystem. And then you're kind of like, I was talking about this with somebody else in, with another validator the other day who mainly works in other ecosystems. And they were like, it's wild when you're in an environment where there's sort of a barrier to entry and sort of not at the same time, like from a business perspective, when you're trying to get into testnets and things, because you're competing against like literally everybody at every level of experience. And there's so little filter other than having shaken somebody's hand still, which we all know, obviously. But this year. So,
There's been soft selling of Molina over $4 million a day over and over and over. They think it's inside the team, just quietly rug pulling, just a little bit by a little bit.
I can't believe it has that much liquidity.
Surprising. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But it's down 96% from all-time high. This is the article from today. It says 51 cents, but I know it's already down to 47. And it just keeps slowly sliding. I think there's like $75 million of liquidity. Okay. Something like that, which is like...
Full diluted value. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. just slide. Just
bigger or smaller rug pool than Juno. That's the question.
You just got to do a little at a time, right? It's like a...
I mean, that's
it's
kind
like
of...
pulling the rug out from, or like the, yeah. the tablecloth as opposed to the rug.
Well, yeah, yeah, well, no, you got to do it, but you're doing it slow, right? So like you're actually moving the whole, all the shit on the table with it until everything falls off the edge. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. You're not just whipping everything out. You're just kind of slowly. You're like, how the fuck are we over here now? Wait, why is it we have 40 cents? Oh, because somebody's been selling off $4 million a fucking day.
I mean, anybody that's surprised that that token's going south has not probably been paying much attention, but
everybody knows it's going to zero. It's just a, but everybody feels they can be smarter.
They
than
can be smarter than the people that exactly. that are going to be right. riding it all the
Somebody's
way.
Somebody's holding that bag.
It's so you know this whole like AI governing blockchain thing that's been like a meme for years. I was thinking about it after going to an academic conference last week, and I was like, okay, what if public blockchains actually, and I know this is literally why people have been memeing this for years. I'm aware that this has always been the argument, but I was like, hang on. If these public blockchains aren't actually much good as a store of value, and maybe they're not much good for payments either, and there might be better ways of doing smart contracts. All three possibilities. And I know SERP has a news item about the whole store of value thing that he wants to talk about. But actually, like I know it's also been a meme of this podcast that we've always talked about, like, what do these things do other than make validators get up in the middle of the night and create governance proposals? But actually, the one thing that you do want to create like a really public audience trail, and you don't care about privacy of any kind for, is automated agent governance. The only part of the whole AI on blockchain thing that really doesn't make a lick of sense is that all the people who are talking about AI on blockchain are still going, oh yeah, and you're going to need gas and tokens and we're going to mint one. And it's like, oh, what? But why? The agent wants to pay with US dollars or whatever. Like, you don't need a token. None of that makes a lick of sense. But all the governance part, yeah, kind of, but probably not token weighted voting because obviously Sybil attacks, right? So I don't know, like maybe the whole governance engine with Byzantine fault tolerance makes a lot of sense in that case. Just like nobody's gonna get rich off of price manipulation for a native token by doing it, but maybe it does make more sense than I've given it credit for in the past. So there you go. That's me saying I'm wrong.
I have no idea what the hell you just said.
Yeah, I don't either.
AI on blockchain may be good, but sadly no moon.
but number small.
But for the discerning validator twizzling their evil mustache, like if my hypothesis is correct, right, a native token don't matter. Still means you need infrastructure, still means you need people to run those nodes. They're probably just gonna be paid in a more boring way. And hey, I'm Captain Boring. Here at Envoy Labs, we like getting paid for boring work. We love it. So I'm into that. Yeah, you need to nodes run.
You know? Well, why would AI be on blockchain? What's the point?
Just the governance of it, basically. Because like the one thing that governance seems to, the one thing that blockchains do seem to be able to do, DAOs more specifically, they do seem to arrive at a form of socially governed consensus. Which is interesting, right? It's interesting that even something like Terra, right, which fucking collapses, can relaunch. That's kind of fascinating, right? I mean, the token's worth nothing afterwards, but you go like, okay, there's something about trust in these systems that can be achieved. Can you do that without the shitcoin, basically? Can these systems be useful for governance without the shitcoin? That's the question. Can these DAOs work with... Because if they can just work with a US dollar treasury or a stablecoin treasury, then you're away to the race. I mean, like our DAO, the Game of Nodes DAO, it's just a stablecoin treasury. We just use it right. for some basic stuff, right? And it actually is quite useful. We use it for useful things. But you go like, you apply that logic to like loads of other things that you might want to semi-automatedly govern and that might want to conceivably interact with simple smart contracts or financial primitives. AI is, to be fair, one of them.
Yeah.
So I don't think you need the shitcoin part, but I think you do need the DAO part.
But what is that doing? Is that like creating guardrails on like
what no, part so of it's that? It's not governance in the sense of like, you know, is it Asimov's laws of whatever that I'm thinking of, you know, where it's like you shouldn't kill a human. I'm not talking about governance that sense. I mean, like, is this action legitimate, or should this new model be deployed, or is this? I don't use AI because I'm a fucking Luddite. So, you know, like, I mean, governance in a more boring social consensus kind of way, like putting constraints around like what smart contracts it can interact with, like what its interaction surfaces and blah 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 blah. Not like has it tried to take the nuclear launch codes? Because obviously, if it's done that, we're in Terminator 3 anyway, or Terminator 2, or in fact, every Terminator after Terminator 1 involves the nuclear launch codes, doesn't it? So, from memory,
does 2 involve the codes?
Isn't that what it was about? No, you're right. 3 is where because 2 is about they come back from the post-apocalypse, don't they? But it all happens before. 3 is where you see it happening. You see Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
4 is post Judgment Day. Although it's a very bad film, but still,
I don't remember it.
So Terminator Salvation is the one where Christian Bale had the meltdown on set. You remember the?
Oh yeah.
Have you not heard it? It's amazing.
No.
Show notes.
Oh, was it? Did somebody audio record it? Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah. The audio was still on set, and so it's just like Christian Bale in full like.
But he was
back to meltdown, just being like
right.
Just being like screaming at the director.
I forget what was he pissed about though.
Somebody dropped like a mic boom or something in the middle of a take, right. And apparently it had been a really bad production, like really disorganized, and he just like explodes. Just
fucking lost.
And they're just like, it was like copped out. It's just a mic boom, and he's just like, I'm not, calm down. kind of thing. It's like his minute 30, just like rant, and like he names the director, and is like, oh.
Listen, we've all had those days.
Yeah. But I think his Family Guy had a great bit where they just like, you can guess what I have, like Peter's just like in the set and like a boom falls down and he just like repeats verbatim the entire rant and then storms off. And they put that one out really shortly after it was like a meme. It was like, fair play, that's actually a really good joke.
All right, I found it. I'll put a link in the notes.
Wait, what does that have to do with AI?
Which one has the nuclear codes?
Who has the nuclear codes?
Christian has it.
That's the one. So Bitcoin and gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we were talking about before was, we've had this theory, or I guess, I don't know if the market has had this theory. Who's had this theory that, you know, that Bitcoin is playing this role as like a digital reserve, and it has in the past, I think, I can go back and look, but maybe the last year-ish, something like that. But it has followed a bit of gold prices, and it has followed at least that structure. Although gold has been going up for a long time, but so has Bitcoin, I guess, when you back out far enough. But it was interesting. I was just looking at just in this tariff situation, just how much those two have diverged. And there's huge influx into gold right now. I think the price is over 3,200 USD, something like that. 3,174 right now, and which I think is
that's per ounce.
Yeah, which I think is like 2.5%, 2 or 3% since this whole hubbubaloo started. Whatever it was 10 days ago. I'm not sure. How long are we in this? It feels like it's been months, but I don't think it has been months.
Yeah. It's been it feels like it's been a long time.
It's been like 5 days, right? I know it was last week.
What's the full? Is it Interstellar where they go down to like the planet where Matt Damon is and they think it's been like an hour and then and they come back and the guy's been like, it's been like 30 years.
Oh yeah,
that's a great scene.
Yeah, when The guy's just been spinning. The guy's been sitting in that scaffold, just spinning around 30 years, waiting for him to come back. And they're like,
do you remember like when that film came out? That was like a brief. There was a brief and delicious period of memes where they were all just the, you know, the really intense docking music where they're trying to dock with the spinning spaceship that's out of control, and it was just things that were spinning. And they had like some guy that like fired off a fire extinguisher while sitting in a desk chair, and he's just like spinning really fast. And there's like there was like a cat hanging on a, you know, like a, what's it called? You know, one of those ceiling fans. Like it was trying to climb up onto the ceiling fan to get, and it just kept slipping back down, and it was just like, it's just that really intense music. And yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, so
great meme.
I think this last few weeks, I think we've seen early, maybe, I don't know what it was. Maybe, I thought it was like 10 days ago, whatever the fuck. But we have not seen that those have been at all correlated. And so I think it is interesting. It's something that we'll probably talk about again at some point, but it is pretty interesting how maybe different types of risk drive investors in different ways. Or maybe it has nothing to do with that at all. But the idea that like, hey, these tariffs might get us into a little bit of a spiral here. We might have a recession. And is Bitcoin a store of value during a recession? Or is even that's too much risk? And so therefore our, you know, like traditional holders would then run back to gold or something similar to that is a more traditional store of value. Like that they don't feel has the same amount of risk associated to that.
Well,
so it is a store of value, but maybe not the same stuff. Maybe it's a different level of risk structure. I clear it's a different level of risk, but which we always said that, right? It's like not even the same fucking thing. But I think the market has tried to look at it and say, hey, this is a digital gold. So therefore, it's going to follow that same structure in terms of as, flows go in and out of the market. And maybe this last couple of weeks has put that to a test a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this. Okay, so before I say this, I'm obviously way out of my lane. I'm not economically literate or sophisticated enough to really pursue this thought too much further. But it would be really interesting to have somebody sufficiently literate to talk about what's happened with stablecoin flows during this time, especially US dollar, right? Because the thesis on stablecoins, especially like, okay, if you hypothesize that there are people whether or not it's an agenda anybody, certainly any of us necessarily agree with, but if you hypothesize that there are people who have a thought out agenda somewhere behind Trump's plans, all of their various forms, and they've basically gone, hey, in exchange for you personally enriching yourself, we get to carry out our economic agenda. That's the mm-hmm. hypothesis, right? Is that behind the scenes, the guys have said, hey, we want to deregulate cryptocurrencies. Good news. That means you can rug pull a bunch of your supporters and make a load of money. And he's like, let's go. And then he's like, well, I love tariffs. And they're like, well, we want to revalue the dollar and re-onshore some silicon, some semiconductor manufacturing, so that when China invades Taiwan, we don't lose our strategic access to microprocessors. So and he's like, but I get tariffs. And they're like, yes, yes. Calm down, you get tariffs. And what we're thinking is we would like Denmark. And he's like, Denmark, no, so worry. And they'll be like, okay, well, we'll send JD Vance to Denmark. Then we can, maybe they'll go independent. And then we can just say, hey, we're going to take your semiconductors. Amazing, thank you. Rare earth metals. But like, you've got to assume that there's like some kind of policy, right? Joining mm-hmm. all these things up behind the scenes. And his, not SEC, I don't know, one of his officials, I don't remember how all of these things work in America, has already written like an op-ed in The Economist some time ago, basically being like, here's what I do. And, you know, to quote Al from Die Hard, he's got the ultimate playbook and he's running it step by step.
Yeah.
Well, until they capitulated on the tariffs, like they were basically just running the playbook that they had said in the open they were going to run, is my
understanding. They said they're going to run. Yeah. We'll just keep increasing this until somebody blinks.
Until somebody blinks, right?
Yeah.
But so the interesting thing, right, coming back to our little corner of the degenerosphere, is what happens to stablecoins, right? Because you kind of got to go, okay, well, a lot of what the tariff stuff will do is about devaluing the dollar. And a lot of it is about, a lot of it is going to cause trading partners to maybe think twice about how much exposure they want to the dollar, you know, from a trust perspective. But
well, that's why they backed off the tariffs, right? Is bonds were being sold hand over fist in the market, and they were like, oh, maybe this wasn't the best idea.
Well, but that brings us back to all this stuff about Bitcoin reserve and also stuff about stablecoin deregulation, is that I don't know. I'm sure other people have written about this. I'm sure there's literally loads of news articles that I could look at, but it's just the conversation that we're having here. But there must be, like, maybe that's a part of the picture, right? Which is that they go, well, okay, it's a very cheap bet on the scale of an economy to deregulate stablecoins and go, hey, if all of the crypto guys are right and stablecoins end up being a meaningful amount of transaction value or being held or blah, 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 if we can make the US dollar the most used one, it's free real estate, right? If your goal is to try and devalue the dollar, but keep dollar hegemony, like keep people using the dollar, I don't know. Like I said, a smarter economist would have to explain that to me. I imagine that the amount of stable coins in use, even if it exploded into mainstream use, would be still tiny, but I don't know.
I don't know. But the role of the dollar itself is also a little bit at risk, right? There's this whole like de-dollarization thing. We've seen that like come up. Like, I think just countries trying to make the US dollar like less important to their own, their own.
I mean, that's probably a good bet after the last 10 days, but
yeah, I think they want to rely less on the US dollar, right? So it's interesting that at least all the traditional popular stable coins have been USD based. And does that put those at risk as well?
That's the question, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose we have our correspondent PFC on the ground at Paris Blockchain Week. So maybe we can ask next week when they're back. But to be honest, like I think we were talking about beforehand, that there didn't seem to be like much like super exciting news. A lot of it is the same sort of stuff we've seen at other conferences, like RWAs, by which people mean stable coins, and institutions increasingly like taking up a lot of the air in the room was the perspective. Like almost every single thing I've seen was stuff about like institutional access. I mean, ironic at a time when we're still getting threats of debanking and blah blah blah. For, you know, they just don't like governments and banks and things love big institutions to play these games. But as soon as your garage band Mickey Mouse company, with a handful of heads gets involved, they're like, no, this is not for you. This is not your party. Although not for you guys now. It's all boys will be boys in America.
Yeah.
It's gone from boys will be boys in the UK to boys will be boys in America.
Yeah. Let me find that article actually real quick. Yeah. There's just a recent article from, which I'll put in the notes as well, the SEC was dropping any and all crypto-based investigations.
The people that were in it were purged, right? So like, kind of by default, they have to drop all of their litigation. Yeah.
That's like that's the way to get shit get out of problems, right? Like you fucking fire anybody who's involved in it. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's
like, hey, Mr. President, did you just like rug pull a bunch of American citizens? Wow.
it's like South Manhattan Court. Anything else? Just get rid of them all. They can't. Things got to die. Nobody's there to work the fucking stapler.
What are they going to do? I'm the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this DOJ ends crypto enforcement team, shifts focus to terrorism and fraud. So basically, the U.S. Justice Department abruptly shut down its national cryptocurrency enforcement team, signaling a major shift in how the federal government handled crypto-related crimes. Basically, they were leaving, focusing on anything else except for terrorism and prosecuting who victimized digital asset investors. Victimized digital asset investors is a good one to keep. Thank you. Or those who use digital assets to furtherance in furtherance of criminal offenses such as terrorism, narcotics, and human trafficking, organized crime, hacking, and cartel and gang financing. Honestly, I don't know what else they were working on that was outside of those topics, but I assume maybe it was Lavender 5 staking rewards and shit like that. Like, what else was...
So I don't know if you heard, they had a big investigation because they heard that Validator was selling their rewards.
They were dumping.
That's right.
They're like, we got this Validator dumping case. Can we get rid of this thing?
This is one Validator. Jabby.
They're taking their 5% and they're selling it every fucking day.
Yeah. And we have an inside informer called L5. We don't know who L5 is. It's just like a darkened room with like a voice changer. Hello. I can confirm that Jabby is the problem.
He logs into his Black Plex box and pulls rewards and then sells them.
You can find him walking his dog if you need to disappear him. Okay.
That's funny. His keys on server.
To be fair, I think about a lot more validators keep keys on server, I admit. There was, I was pulling node data the other day because I was trying to find out monthly distributions for a bunch of Cosmos networks just to test. I just had this like hunch about some random thing, and I was like, everything, all the data's on the blockchain. I can just look this up, and then it turned out that because of validators pruning, no, I fucking couldn't. And then I was like, it's okay. I'm pretty well connected in Cosmos. I'll just find an archive. And then I couldn't find archives. And then I was literally just like, it was just literally because of a conversation I had when I was on campus. And then I ran into the person again, like a few days later, and they're like, oh, did you find out the answer to that question? And I was like, I couldn't get the data easily, but I'll look it up. And they were like, couldn't get the data easily. And I was like, this is again, one of the academics versus the rest of us type things where you're just like, yeah, I mean, people just prune nodes, dude. Like, the data's gone. And they're like,
it's expensive.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking yesterday.
And they're like, well, no, but the data's not gone. It's still in the Merkle root. I'm like, yeah, okay. A proof that there was no double spend, that's still there. The current state of the accounts balance, that's still there. Everything else, man, is gone. It is
gone.
It's like Kaiser Soze.
It's just... and it's gone.
But I was trying to explain this as well. There was a conversation where somebody was talking about like ledgers, right, and the constraints of them. And it's like, well, you know, ideally, right, you need all these ledgers like Ethereum. You know, they don't grow at a fixed size. They just the state balloons. I was like, no, they don't. They just get pruned. And they're like, they balloon forever. And I was like, dude, they get pruned. And they're like, they'll just keep growing. I was like, every serious ledger that gets onto the wild gets any usage, feature one, version 1.1 is fix:feet:, add pruning. Like, that's what the git commit says. You know what I mean? The changelog. And and they're like, yeah, but then you lose history. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
Like, but then it's in the context of like, there's a bunch of ledger designs that you basically have like a cycle. It's like a day or a month or something. And you can only see history in that cycle. And then it gets discarded and you start again. And I'm just like, well, you may as well just have the other one, because then you could at least ask what the state of every proof is. And it's like, whatever, but it'll grow. And I was like, yeah, but it'll get pruned. And they're like, well, we're not going to implement pruning. I was like, well, okay, fine. If you don't want to do literally the thing that, like, in my, just because everybody else is doing, like, it's like, you know, when you do something naughty when you're a kid and your mum's like, if all your friends did it, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? And you're like, I don't know, if it seemed fun or if there was like water underneath it or, you know, it's like that question, isn't it? That is like, just because.
Are there girls involved?
Yes. I was about to say, are there girls watching?
If there are girls going, you're a coward if you don't jump off that cliff, then I'm off that cliff. That's how I met my wife. No, I met my wife jumping off a cliff. Anyway, where it's just like, just because every other ledger does this doesn't mean it's a good idea. And I'm like, that is factually correct, because logically I can't ever disprove that position. But this is the same argument my mum used with me about that cliff, and I only broke my foot, so it wasn't that bad in the grand scheme of things. Ledger state, man.
It's a good time.
Happy days.
So this was tax. This was tax you were trying to pull? Is that right?
TXs. Just I wanted for
taxes or for
I just wanted like a bunch of top tens of validators at validators voting power at a bunch of
I thought you're looking at I gotcha. Fuck, I don't even know where the hell you would get that.
Yeah, because it's obviously all in the block headers basically. Like you can just call a historical info, but you need an archive.
You'd have to have an archive.
Yeah. It was literally like a throwaway conversation where somebody was doing something on voting power, and I was like, "Vote power data is really easy to get." And they were like, "What? You could just get like monthly snapshots for a network?" And I was like, "In Cosmos, it's just there's just a query for that on the binary, and because they mainly worked in Ethereum." And I was like, "I'm sure it's easy to get." And they're like, "Oh, right, if you just show me how to do it for a network, that'd be cool." And I was like, "Oh, I'll see if I can pull some data." And then like. Yeah, 2 days later, I just go like, it's all gone.
Yeah.
Data's not there. Computer says no. I'm sorry. I misled you. My mistake.
Computer says no.
Computer says no.
That's a good reference.
It's an old one at this point. Everything's an old reference when you get old, isn't it? Yeah. So that was that. I continue to be underwhelming as an academic collaborator as much as I was as a blockchain engineer and validator would be my review of that interaction. Hey.
Hmm.
I did find another potential use case of blockchain as well the other day, or an interesting one. I met somebody who worked on nuclear weapon transparency.
Okay.
And
I thought we just talked about this. Putting nuclear codes on the blockchain, it's not smart.
Yeah, so what they're trying to do, these nuclear weapon transparency people, is put all of the codes on the they're basically like there are a bunch of organizations, governmental and otherwise, that keep track of where nuclear weapons are, like for practical reasons, like inventory, and also to be like, yes, but has like somebody just nicked that poorly guarded nuclear weapon that was sat out in a yard in like the Ural Mountains in Russia for like 20 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's a whole bunch of reasons why you might want to do that, from like simple auditing to non-proliferation, and not everybody trusts governments to do it. And so there are also independent organizations that do this. Anyway, there's also a bunch of reasons why people that have nuclear weapons do not like this information being out there. And it was really interesting because this was a blockchain thing, and it was like it was in a session, a thing about adversarial stuff, right? And there was somebody talking about this, that, and the other. I think it was like deep end stuff, like energy grid stuff. And then this guy just goes like, "Well, you know, when it comes to adversarial stuff, somebody's just going to come to your house and shoot you in the fucking head." And I was just like, "Sorry, what do you do? Where do you work?" And they were just like, all these crypto guys, they're like, "Hey, I could just put 100 nodes in 100 countries and we're safe." Well, let me tell you, if somebody who has a nuclear armed state doesn't like what you're doing, they'll send 100 assassins to 100 countries and kill 100 people.
It's really no problem to do that.
Yeah, I was like, damn, this dude is cool. I love this. Like, but you know, it's interesting. Like, but they were literally like looking at like, is the security and organizational resilience model of any blockchain network proof against the 100 assassins problem. And yeah, I don't know what they concluded. They probably concluded no.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, that is a really, imagine doing that for a job. That isn't it. Now that's an interesting problem to solve, right? Like that level of, I mean, I guess the other question is, like, if you're having to deal with that level of adversarial planning, is the assassin coming to your house? That would be the thing I'd worry about, I guess.
Yeah.
But, really interesting. Like, from a technical perspective, that's a really interesting problem to solve. Though I guess it probably ends up not being a technical problem, right?
Well, when Cosmoverse was in, Columbia? I remember there a lot of the Zeke guys was talking about, like, isn't that like the number one human trafficking capital of the world or something? And it seems kind of interesting to have it there, whenever like that would have been the prime location, if any of us mattered at all, which clearly we didn't because none of us were robbed. Well, not including me, not us, because I didn't go, but none of them were robbed.
That
is the time to do it, right?
Whereas supposedly some people got targeted in Portugal, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At the one before.
Did we ever figure out what happened with the bathroom incident in like Cosmoverse? Do you remember that?
Mm-mm. I remember like somebody woke up and I remember somebody got... What was the bathroom incident? You have to remind me.
I don't know what the bathroom incident... I think it was at Cosmoverse. There was like... Someone's reputation was tarnished because something happened in a bathroom. But I'm not deep enough into, you know, the hive mind to figure out whatever happened. I want to ask around. Now I'm curious.
I actually have no idea. I was even there and I don't even remember that being a thing at the time. I remember at least one friend of the podcast had an incident of potentially being targeted by somebody opportunistically trying to rob them at that one. So, but then I guess it was also super, super obvious. I mean, like, I don't know if it was just because it was post-pandemic or whatever. Maybe there's still lots and lots of crypto people in Lisbon. I'm guessing yes. But it was definitely like, because it was around the time of the big Solana event as well. Like, the people weren't trying to make being very good at making themselves not conspicuous. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They were definitely, and it was like, it was kind of still like pretty bullish at that point as well. So people were being silly, I think, as well, which didn't help. But hey.
Is Solana not still bullish?
I mean, I think it is. It's probably worth more than it was in 21, right?
Ooh, I don't know.
Good question.
Definitely maybe close.
Yeah, I just remember that being that crazy huge Solana party at the big palace out on the headland with all of the really heavy security guards. And it was like, okay.
Yeah, it's gone through two spikes, right? 2021, it hit $250. Then it was at $30, $13 forever, right? Like 2022, $23, and then it spiked again to $250 in 2025.
Yeah.
And right now we're at what? Under 100, I thought. Oh no, we're on 12 right now. 112.
Hmm. Oh, poor Solana, only $112.
$5 billion in trading value in 24 hours. It's crazy. It's insane.
What's funny is like in the academic stuff that I do, like so much of the air in the room is sucked up by Bitcoin, then ETH, then ETH L2s that like and then sometimes by like, you know, the ones that those of us who actually work in this space like really don't care about, like Ripple and stuff, like they're mm-hmm. like you, often on graphs and you're like, oh, Ripple, how cute, how quaint, you sweet summer child, completely irrelevant. But like Solana is the like when any of the research has happened, like maybe more recently, like 2019 onwards, because it sometimes can take like 5 years to get published. You see like, oh, Solana, new kid on the block, a lot of cool stuff on Solana, and it's just right. Like it's just like, oh yeah, Solana, I guess, like it's still massive, isn't it? But like I don't know, I just can't. Solana's pump.fun. What else is on Solana other than pump.fun?
Helium. There's actually
Helium. Helium went Solana.
There's a pretty decent amount of shit on there. Yeah.
Well, and Solana's also going to come out with L2s here soon. There might even be a couple in testnet right now.
Yeah.
Which I think is such a... This is a bit of a segue, but I think it's a really interesting kind of deviation in that the story of shared security is so played out. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it keeps popping back up. Like... Not to show an Eigenlayer too much, but it's just there's not much value proposition to it.
Yeah.
And yet every new chain, it goes back through the same cycle of, oh, okay, well, we can add more value by securing another chain. And
well, it's because they look at the wider economy where we're in a situation where the ruling class
in a situation of highly concentrated wealth are looking to return to rentier capitalism, or like, if you like, kind of feudalism even, where the goal is to extract value via renting, via sitting on things. Like even Amazon, arguably, they just have a marketplace. They connect people together and they rent, they sit on that as a rent, right? You pay Amazon rent to purchase goods and blah, blah, blah. All these centralized platforms, right? This is why decentralization matters. This is what us crypto people are supposed to solve, right? Centralized digital platforms, they're rentier capitalism. It's bad. It's concentration of power. And then what we did was we created all these blockchains and they didn't scale. And so then we went, what we need to do is create rentier capitalism on the blockchain by adding more value to the home chain and giving security to the rentier chains. Oh, sorry, we can't call them rentier chains. Surf chains. Oh, no, we can't call them that. Consumer chains. There we go. Because master and slave chain would be a little bit too on the nose. So
would be a little bit.
Yeah. That's my hot take, which is not hot at all. It's a cold take on that whole model.
Well,
but like you said, it keeps getting reinvented, right? It's so weird.
It keeps being reinvented, but kind of in the same imagination. Like Polkadot, great. They come up with it, fine idea, whatever. But it's concluding itself over and over, right? Like Neutron, I believe
today
it either just exited
today.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
today.
So it's no longer a secured chain by the
correct.
Right.
Yeah, it dropped today. Today's upgrade 6.0 exited out 120 validators.
Yeah.
So it's down. It's down to 22 vals. Not the greatest selection in my eyes, but whatever. But yeah, and then a couple have joined, like Cleomedes joined back in, I think, with a couple hundred. So there's still 165 allocated spots on this Neutron, but I know that I don't even know how this actually worked. Schultze, you would probably know, but at that upgrade, it went for like a block or two and then whoosh, all those other ones were exited instantly.
Yeah. Did it go to partial set or did it become fully its own chain?
I think it went its own chain is what I thought. But because I thought the Neutron team made decisions on who was going to be in that list.
They did, which is also another really interesting discussion. I'm seeing more and more that validators are starting to get paid USD values to validate on a network. Neutron's doing that.
What do you mean?
As opposed to each validator that you see that's listed there, they're getting $3,000 a month for doing so. USD.
Plus rewards or plus the actual stake, or what are they doing with that?
Good question. I assume it's maybe it looks like inflation isn't going because none of them are getting rewards.
Maybe that might have been turned off, eh? Yeah, yeah.
So
it's
3,000 USD, which I mean that's great. I would.
It's flat.
Yeah.
It's basically like this turns into like an RPC contract at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Don't lose the fucking keys.
Which I think is, I don't know. I kind of like that. I like that idea. I like the transition of being paid in potentially valueless coins and just getting paid in USD. Yeah. But that's, it's emblematic of a big change kind of in the ecosystem in my mind.
Well, I mean, we were just talking about with the
PBW, right?
Say it again.
What?
Well, perhaps blockchain week, all these events where the air in the room is being sucked up by institutions and stablecoins, right? The pipeline of shitcoin experimentation to it's okay, just use stablecoins. Like that dirty secret pipeline is in full swing.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's no reason, isn't it?
So are these getting rid of the mint on here? Do you know?
I don't know, but you can look at them. I just looked at them. They're none of the validators are getting
So
commissions they have commissions listed, but they're not.
I guess that explains the reason that nobody else has joined. Because what would be the point of running this unless the Neutron team is going to keep increasing the number of valves that are in that set? I wonder why they even have 165 allocated. It must be a proposal coming to reduce that.
Yeah, presumably.
Yeah,
you would think. Oh yeah, on-chain APR 0.0.
Authority, right?
It basically is POA at that point. It is, yeah. Although it's weird because I mean, if there's no rewards, then there's no reason to stake, no. Right? There's no staking of that, which means this stake
but
here.
But people clearly are.
I mean, I can't tell. I mean, for the most part, all these number of delegators, the top one has 7. And this actually changed over 12 plus hours ago. Well, maybe not. It was like 10 a.m. this morning Eastern. So there's a small number of stakers in here. And who's Occlusion? Is that? They haven't signed a single block. Good job, team.
Occlusion, isn't that like Zaki?
Yeah, Zaki is Zaki, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Zaki. Cool job. Good selection.
Zaki's like just this. Like...
Fucking, I guess 3,000 a month ain't enough to sign a block. You have to do better than that.
3,000 gets you one block.
Yeah.
It's like when I do a fractional due diligence contract and you're like, oh yeah, that budget will give you one day of retainer a month. And then they like call you up for the first of the month and like, can we have you on the 10th? And he's like, yeah, I'll sign one block on the 10th. Pleasure doing business.
For 3,000, we sign 1 hour a day.
What? That's a good deal.
That's right.
You're getting a real great deal.
Just right inside the slashing parameters. Slashing parameters minus one block.
I mean... Yeah, it's all kind of interesting, isn't it? But then, like, I guess that's the because it gets really interesting. It gets more interesting, I think, if the chain did have inflation turned on, right? Mm-hmm. And staking, but the validators got no commission, but they were paid a flat rate. Then you have an interesting situation, right? Where I think maybe the economic incentives don't begin to not align, particularly if there's like a bull run or something, but. I mean, it's also back to we're in the Cosmos ecosystem. Like, we're like a real bull run, like a 2021, 22 bull run. It's like the bit from the end of Titanic where the lady's like, it's been 80 years. You know, like other ecosystems, like they have like a little spike every year or something at some point during the year. Like, energy just builds up, it's all bubbling, and something happens. But
yeah, this is so weird. So there's 10-second block times.
That's really long.
10-second block times, I assume by design. There is...
That's another interesting discussion to be had, because there's been more and more 10-second block time chains coming up. But anyway,
yeah.
Keep going.
So a signed block window...
What's another one needs 10 seconds? Sorry, Serp, I know you...
It's okay.
You need to read...
Celestia is one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Celestia's even 11 or 12. Lava is another one. And then there's one more.
But
Celestia
has that subchain thing though, right? Because doesn't it run like a subchain where like it performs some sort of transaction at like a really fast rate, and then it somehow goes back to the L1 to finalize or something, kind of similar to Ethereum L1 L2?
I don't think so.
No, I thought there was a fast way of doing that. Oh, wait, I'm looking at fucking Babylon. Never mind, I'm a fucking moron, dude.
Babylon, apparently. Babylon's another 10-second one.
Babylon has 10-second block times. Is that right? Yeah, 10-second block times. And then 10,000, the signing block window is 10,000 blocks at 60%. So you need to be down for 4,000 blocks at 10 seconds is 12 hours. That's not too bad, actually. And there's a 0% downtime thing. That's cool. Nice. There's more and more of those.
I mean, at this point, I think we can conclude that tombstoning doesn't really work.
No,
I mean, I love talking to new teams about that, and they get all huffy about it. They're like, sure it is. It's a big deal. I'm like, okay.
It's like, okay, every major tombstone event in the Cosmos ecosystem has been reverted, but, you know, whatever. Keep believing it.
I guess the point is, it's like, it's kind of arbitrary, right? Is that it will get reverted. If it ever happens, it will just get reverted. But I suppose theoretically, you don't want your validators becoming shit hot Go programmers compiling an actually valid version of the binary that just signs whatever the fuck it feels like and does a nothing at stake attack. But I think the number of validators that could actually do that in the ecosystem is probably under 5.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I think all of them would get busted.
That's generous.
I think it would be, everybody would be busted so fucking fast. It would be like, oh no, there's been a nothing at stake attack. And it'd be like, okay, it's Schultzy. Frey doesn't fucking sign anything anymore. So it's not needle cast. Like Frey's useless in the cosmos, so it's not needle cast. So it's basically Strangelove. Like Schultzy, Strangelove, Cephalopod, or maybe Figment at a push. Like it's like one of a handful, tiny handful, that maybe have the capacity to pull off that attack. Oh, and Jaman.
Jabby.
Friends of the podcast. Oh, obviously Jabby, if Jabby was still validating more chains, of course. And friends of the podcast, Skip, as was, if they still run.
I don't think they run validators, Skip, though.
No. What happened to your audio? Yeah. Yeah, so Babylon... Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, this kind of is continuation of the conversation. What does it say about our ecosystem that so many of the developers have kind of dropped out of being a developer and turned it into a validator? And is that kind of what is damning us?
No, I think we were damned before that.
Honestly. Possibly.
Maybe.
But honestly, I think the developer thing is also, it's a little bit also regulation and everything, right? Because a lot of the things that you can do as a developer in the ecosystem, like the core dev work is very difficult and is generally under-rewarded. Right, and not to be too crass about it, it sticks in the craw a bit to facilitate other people to make a lot more money than you do, especially. Mm-hmm. Like that's this ecosystem. It is about money. That is the reality, right? And then there's all the other stuff you can do, like smart contracts, DAO, DeFi protocols, things like this. They often don't work. They often don't make money. When they do, quite often the money is being made or the value is being locked by some other protocol, unless you're the ones running the chain. That's what we saw with the stuff that we launched. So like the incentives aren't there. Like it comes back down to running a business, right? Like validators don't always make money, but they at least have some kind of a business model that you can predict. You can do business development. You can blah, blah, blah. The developer model is just difficult, right? Unless you just want to go work for Osmosis, which you can do. I think obviously Interchain Labs are hiring currently as well for the hub. So, mm-hmm. So, you know, you can go and work as an individual contributor if you want to do that. But the model doesn't work so well apart from that. I think if you're more entrepreneurial, the option is much trickier, I think, in Cosmos. I don't know if that's just because of low total value low market cap.
But I don't know. I mean,
you're right. I mean, it does. It definitely says something about the ecosystem, and something not good.
We were talking about with Eric as well, because it's like not just developers, but like everybody who's selling something in this ecosystem as a service of some sort now runs a val to say, hey, you guys have these tokens sitting around. Instead of taking stuff out of the cap table, just put these tokens to use. It doesn't matter. Might as well be us versus L5, right? Like. And then we'll provide these other services as a discount based on blah, blah, blah. And obviously there's a structure to that because they're not going to lose money on that, right? But in their eyes, to the team, they're offering a way to be able to have services for free, in essence, right? Because otherwise, if it's not going to you or I, it's going to them, and who gives a shit, right? Because they get a different service. But we provide services as well, just a different way of being able to provide those. So I think... And then some of those, I think, you know, Zelic does a good job. Some of these other ones do not. Like, they really poor jobs. But I think, you know, it's going to be more and more popular.